Here we have sung, and it moved me, and I believe all of us, what Adam's fall bequeathed to us. Huh. It certainly wasn't the best. Has set the lamb right. New life has awakened. So with rejoicing we sing eternal worship to you. O victor, live in me and transform more and more all that does not come from you. World and hell flee when they see this king. Overcomer, you alone. Yes, with rejoicing we sing eternal worship to you. There are songs that already contain part of the gospel. And I believe that we are now almost ready to believe in the divine as a reality and to accept it as part of our spiritual existence. Just as earthly, everything is reality and the divine order remains. And the Lord Himself has said, before me shall be day and night, summer and winter, seed time and harvest, and so on. He has put the natural laws into nature, and we realize that they remain. Everything remains as God has ordered it. In the same way, we must believe, and we can no longer avoid it, that the divine facts for the church are an integral part of the divine order. And we are no longer prepared to be pushed away, but to take our stand on the victorious ground of Golgotha in the conviction that God has done everything well. He is not going to do it yet. Very often, it happens to me, and perhaps to others, from time to time, that we almost allow ourselves to be crushed and tormented inwardly. And when we become quiet, we ask ourselves where such a state comes from. Not from God. God has never tormented anyone and will not do so in the future. The word diabolo, which is translated as devil, means confuser, but the word demon actually means tormentor. Someone who torments is a demon. And the Lord has delivered all those who were badly afflicted and tormented by the devil. He cast out the devils, and the people were happy afterwards. The Lord cast out 7 demons from 1 woman. It is not known what she was tormented with, but every demon causes torment. Be this torment in the body, be it in the spirit, be it in the soul. Every torment comes from the devil. Yes. And that is why we must rise up against it inwardly. As long as we think that God is tormenting us, we don't dare to fight it. We cower. And the more we cower, the more the devil torments us. No, I mean, that's not what we are here for. We are here to honor God in faith, to accept His word as true, and the devil has no right to us. Absolutely no right to us. We are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And should there be any tormenting demons anywhere, there's no other way to put it. Why embellish it? You all know, in that film that we've all seen a few times, Brother Branham says, the doctors give the disease a certain name. And then he says, if you want to know exactly what it is, let me tell you. It's a demon that caused the cancer, and the doctors call it this or that. And we realize, if we look a little deeper, that it is the devil with all the power of hell, who wants to crush, even destroy, wreck, and torment the believers. But that is not what we are here for. We want to glorify God. Not that we say now we are going to do this or that. No. We want to put on what God has done for us as a divine fact and expect the effects in our lives. And if we realize that the devil is tormenting us, then we don't need to go far at all, but simply say, Satan, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, depart from me. Yes, we simply have to get used to the fact that we are in a battle, and this battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places, and that of course also come down to us. It is important that we make a distinction. And let me say it again before I forget. Everything tormenting comes from a demon, not from God. Never from God. When our Lord was on earth, He always cast out devils, healed the sick, and forgave sins. There was no ministry without casting out devils. And I ask myself, and say it directly to myself, this is the point that we have absolutely neglected. People could not cope, and they are at the mercy of something, and they can't help themselves. And someone has to come along who is stronger than he who is in that person. And as I said, this can even happen to believers. And then we remember the glorious word, He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And you can try it. I didn't want to use the word try. It doesn't quite fit here. But to prove it, whenever the Lord gave a command, be it to the 12, be it to the 70, whether in Mark 16, wherever He gave a command to preach the gospel, it was almost in the first place, cast out devils, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and so on. It's part of it. And I mean, let's not just ask God for it, but believe that we have the power through the authority of the Word of God and through the power of the name of Jesus Christ to put an end to every claim of Satan. It is made, but by faith we speak it, and then it applies to us. Only when we speak a thing with our lips that we believe from the heart, does it become a reality in our lives. Not before. Before that, it is a reality, but not a personal experience. It only becomes a personal experience when we believe from the heart and confess it with our mouths. That is, when we speak it out, and then God will stand by His word. But let us now stand up and pray that God will bless and guide us. Heavenly Father, we thank you with all our hearts that we can be here. Lord, if ever we needed you, it is now. And we ask you, faithful God, to shake heaven and earth once more. Once more, stretch out your arm. Once more, temper justice with mercy. Once more, speak to us. Once more, bless us. Once more, help us as in the beginning. Heal us as in the beginning. And fill us with the Holy Spirit. Lord, give us grace. Take away all fear. Take away everything that can hold us back. Every doubt, little faith or unbelief. Overshadow us, faithful God, with a cloud of glory. Lord, spread yourself out over us as with an umbrella, so that we may dwell in the shelter of the Most High and abide under the shadow of the Almighty, and say, you are my help and my comfort. Lord, grant us grace and authority from above, so that by the power of your name, on the basis of your word, we can, indeed must, command Satan. Lord, you have not left it up to us. You have commanded us, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You commanded us to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out devils. My God, let the Great Commission be revealed in its entirety, at the end as at the beginning. Faithful God, we have passed on the teaching as best we could, with all our weaknesses and infirmities. Yet you are strong. You are the Almighty God. And we have sat under the sound of your word. Beloved Lord, I thank you that it was not in vain. Your word will not return void, but will accomplish what you send it to do. Lord, take everything from me, every right of the enemy. Faithful God, make me completely free in my soul, in my spirit, in my body. Make me completely free. Make us all completely free before your face, through the power of your blood, your spirit, and your word. Lord, we ask you to carry out your ministry yourself and use us as instruments to speak your word. And if it pleases you, then you will save, heal, deliver, and loosen, faithful God. Let us experience you in truth. Take away everything disturbing, everything that grieves your spirit. Worship and honor to your holy name. Hallelujah. Amen. I just want to think of the event from the Gospel of John, when our Lord had spoken and the answer came from above. People thought it had thundered, and our Lord said, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." And what do we know? What do we know? All things are possible with God. One day it must come to the point that all enemies have been made his footstool. We don't trust ourselves. We don't believe ourselves. We trust God. We believe what God has said in his word. And we are determined to believe as the scripture has said. And then God will confirm as he confirmed then. You can still remember the word that Paul wrote, "I know whom I have believed and in whom I have put my trust. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which have committed unto me against the day of his return." Today is about prayer for the meetings that lie ahead. You are surely aware of this, just as I am, that people come, and not only come, but they come with an expectation. They come to experience God. And surely, many are already praying that God will bless the days ahead, that the heavens will be opened over us, and blessings will pour down. One brother said to me, "We've just had Easter, it's already Pentecost, and before we know it, it will be Christmas. Time is passing faster than ever before." I mean, everyone feels that. It's not just an observation made by old people. Everyone realizes it. Time is rushing by, and we can't get one day back. And we only have one life to live for the Lord. Only this time that we have been given to be there for him. And the best thing is, when our life has been in the service of God, and by that I don't mean in the fulfillment of a great commission, but that God was able to bless everyone and make them a blessing wherever they were. Perhaps this should not go unmentioned. We were very pleased with the visit on Sunday after the last service. From what I heard, the woman must have come from the Catholic Church. She cried, she wept, and I had already prayed with her, and we spoke to each other, and the tears ran down, and we prayed for her again. A sign that the Spirit of God is still at work. I believe in conversions that come from the heart and also reach the eyes. Something is moving somewhere, and when you see it like that, you rejoice with it. And I was thinking of God giving us a time of refreshing, a time of blessing, a time when people are seized by the Spirit of God under the sound of the Word. And if you want to make a human judgment, then it was not a special word of revelation and deep instruction, but a word that went to the heart. And we are grateful for that. For this evening, I have chosen the word from the letter of John, both from the 3rd and 4th chapter. In 1 John 3, from verse 13, it says, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you." We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Let me stop here. Is this sufficient proof that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren? Yes, sir. Anyone who can love divinely has the divine love that was revealed on Golgotha in his heart and has experienced it. For God so loved the world. There on the cross, through the dying of our Lord, power was taken away from death. There we too, you and I, were taken from death into life through our Lord Jesus Christ. We were crucified with him when he was crucified. We died with him when he died. We were buried with him when he was buried. We were resurrected with him when he was resurrected. This is God's holy word. And we have been transferred with him into heavenly places. God's word also tells us this. If it says here that we have passed from death unto life, he, we all know, that our Lord has come out of death. That is the gospel, and we all know it. Likewise is the gospel, and we all ought to know it, that we also have passed from death into his life. And the proof, as the Holy Scripture says here, lies in this: because we love the brethren. It is something very powerful, probably the greatest thing that God can give a person: true, sincere love of God that is not dependent on circumstances, but can love anyone from the heart in any situation at any time, even those who may not be able to do so. It is a gift from God. It goes on to say, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. This is very strong food and hard speech. He who does not love remains in death. He can say with his mouth, I love. He does not live. Yes, he lives physically. That may be true. And you can see that sometimes. But spiritually, a person remains in death if he cannot love every brother from the heart. We have an example in the sermon where Brother Branham says, if you are as out of tune with someone, as far apart as the rising of the sun is from the setting of the sun, and you don't love that person afterwards as you did before, then there is something wrong with your experience with God. God's love doesn't stop anywhere. My Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13 that love never ends. Should love have suddenly stopped everywhere? It stopped there and there. Everywhere it stopped? Huh, what is true now? Is God's word right? Or where is it wrong? There is something wrong somewhere. The love of God never ends. Don't tell me, huh, if you only knew. Is there any condition attached to this? It is simply written here, he who does not love remains in death. Thereby we know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. Let me say this freely today. I can put my arms around every brother who has ever sat here in this room and say from my heart, God bless you. But from my heart, from the depths, without having the slightest thing in me against anyone. I believe that perfect love is needed in these last days. Perfect revelation of the word and will of God. Perfect revelation of the mysteries of the scripture. And now, the perfect realization of what God has promised. But we can read that for ourselves. And we also know the scripture. Here it says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. This is the thing, to lay down one's life for the brethren. Then in verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. God also wants to put this into our hearts. And he wants to give us the strength to put it into practice. Now to the prayer from verse 19. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He has given us. Especially the thought here, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. We have no personal requests. Sure, we have those too. But today, it's about asking God fervently to bless the meetings ahead of us. And believe me, if Paul wrote, "We came among you in fear and trembling," what should we say today? And yet, we put our trust in the Lord, who has not disappointed us to this day. We have to say that. He has not let us down even once. Is that true or not? Not even once. And we are grateful for that. It says here in chapter 4 from verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." What a marvelous word! May it not only be written here in this book we call Holy Scripture, God's Word, the Bible, but may it be burned into our hearts by the Spirit. God is love. And if God dwells in your heart and in mine, then love dwells in you and in me. Nothing else counts. God is what the Holy Scriptures say. He is love. We know that God is gracious, God is merciful, God is long-suffering, but God is love. His nature is love. He that loveth not knoweth not God. We can boast of the greatest knowledge of God, and it is a thing that may be in our head as a theory, as knowledge that we have received by the letter. But to know God through the Spirit, through revelation, and to enter into His presence and be before His face, to hear His words and respond to them, and to know Him in His actions, in His ways, in His nature, in everything, That is something quite different from merely saying with our mouths, yes, I've recognized God, I know the thing is so and so. And then we go inflated like a balloon and just as light. And then only one thing can be said, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. A person who knows God knows his actions, his ways, his word, his counsel, everything that comes from God and leads back to him. It goes on to say, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love. We ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Not only on Golgotha, not only in the Son of God, through redemption, but in all the sons and daughters of God who have been redeemed, who have experienced this divine love. And he who has experienced this love himself will also grant it to all others. They will put this divine love above all else. You all know, faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Faith is important, necessary. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But without love, it is impossible to abide in him. Everything belongs together. And we believe that God has put the whole package, if I may put it that way, on the table. It has been unpacked. Nothing is covered up anymore. Everything that God has prepared for us is there for us. We only need to step up and receive it. It goes on to say, and this brings me to the close from verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. We could go on reading about the love that has come to perfection in us. Perhaps this verse is important. You can hardly leave it out. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear has torment, He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Much could be said about every sentence, about every thought. Fear has to do with punishment. The punishment was on him that we might have peace, and by his stripes we are healed. Therefore, fear is no longer in us. It has no place in us. Fear, as we read, has to do with punishment. Why should we fear and perhaps be afflicted and tormented when the punishment has already been laid on him? Practically, the result of our iniquity, namely the punishment, is laid on him. All sin, all iniquity, and the result, the consequence of sin and iniquity, the punishment, has also been laid on him. Not just sin and iniquity, but the punishment that sin and iniquity entailed, even death. For thus it is written, the wages of sin is death. That is the payment, death. And the Lord took it all upon himself. So where is there room for doubt? Where is there room for fear? Fear has to do with punishment. But the word tells us, the punishment was laid on him. What happened to our Lord in Gethsemane? How did he wrestle there and say, Father, if you are willing, let this cup pass from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. All our iniquity was laid on him. Yes, even the punishment was laid on him, that we might have peace, and by his stripes we have been healed. So anyone who still feels fear has not yet reached perfection in love, because fear has to do with punishment. And whoever still feels fear has not yet reached perfection in love. Beloved, let us admit it and recognize that we have sometimes been surprised. Some things have wanted to get hold of us, but by the grace of God, we want to take our stand in faith. We want to believe God's word as true with our hearts and confess it with our mouths. And the Lord will then confess what he has said in his word. I want this word to mean something to all of us today. May it have spoken to us today. The same love of God that was revealed in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as Redeemer, is revealed in all the sons and daughters of God whom he has redeemed. And therefore it is written, as he was, so are we in this world. May God bless us and be with us. Amen.